Hey, folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
Don't let anybody make Bible Christianity hard, because it's not. Amen? He said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. And was talking to somebody one time about how do you know the Lord's will. And I said, God always makes it real simple. We're the ones makes it hard, but it's real simple. When Israel, when they was in the wilderness, when they woke up in the morning, they would look toward the tabernacle. And if they saw the pillar of cloud there on the tabernacle, that meant they was staying right there. It wasn't going anywhere that day. They'd get up one morning and they'd see the pillar of cloud over in the next valley somewhere. And God was so good to them, He didn't just run off and leave them and let them try to figure out where He went. He waited until they kept His commandments by putting everything together and packing the tabernacle up just right and everything like that. He waited for them patiently to gather everything together and be ready. And as soon as they were ready to move, God even had an order for how they were to, how they, Judy was always first and Dan was always last. Very interesting. But anyway, they would always go and follow the Lord, follow that pillar of cloud. God always kept right there in front of them the whole time. And when God stopped, they stopped and they set the camp up right then and there. And that's how that was. And a lot of times, I'm going to say this to you too. A lot of times you've been following the Lord and didn't think you were. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now that's not some joke, and that's not small talk that we make with people. Amen? He meant what He said. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And sometimes you thought the Lord wasn't with you, and He was. Amen? And I want to tell you, He's a good God to us. Amen. It's good to be here tonight. And Bradley wanted me to, what was it you said? You want me to talk to the man upstairs, or you want to use my influence with God, or I had power with God and could prevail, and you want me to make the sun stand still, right? Right over your head? Or on the other side of the world? Other side of the world. I don't know. You know, whatever. People have been telling me it's hot, and I don't know that it is. It's been about 72 here, Gary, something like that. We keep it around 72, somewhere around in there. Yeah. Listen, I know it's hot. I know it's hot. I was out there the other night mowing grass and weed eating. And I'm going to tell you what, if you think you sweat, you put on about 180 pounds of pure water on top of that, buddy, it comes out. Amen? It sure comes out. But anyway, we're going to be in the book of Genesis tonight. We're going to be in the book of, I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Amos, if you would. We're going to start out there. We're going to pray here in a minute. But there's a verse. Since 1997, God called me into the study and the preaching and teaching of Bible prophecy. There's a verse that's always been here, and I've taught on it. I've been teaching this verse for 13 years. And God hit me with it in a brand new way today. And that's the beauty of you. That's the beauty of the Bible. Amen. It's such a beautiful book, and you'll never in this lifetime be done studying the same old scriptures. Amen. You'll never be done with it. And so we're going to start out in Amos chapter 3, and God just sort of gave it to me in a new way. And I want it to be a blessing to you tonight. I really do. And I hope it is a blessing and an encouragement. I hope we got the building cool enough for you and nice and comfortable and everything. And we can remove all the hindrances and we can just study the Word of God. I've had a lot of people in our online community. They've been asking where I was. There were some people saying, is Pastor Mike dead or alive, or, you know, what's going on? And so we've been directing them to the Bethel Church website. Visitbethelchurch.com to hear the testimony that we gave Sunday morning about our trip to Kenya. And I've been hearing some things back from Kenya and from the places that we went to, and it's all been good. And there's such a hunger for the Word of God. And I told some people before we left, and I said, if there's no hunger in America, I'm going to go to places where there is hunger. Amen. And we think we found some places, and we're looking at distributing our DVDs and videos and teachings from Nairobi. And the man that I've been talking to about that, Pastor Olo, he said that his, as far as he was concerned, the area of influence would include Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, and just that whole Eastern Africa area. And so we're excited about that, and we just, where, you know, it's like we're saying, wherever he leads, I'll go.
Amen.
And if God doesn't want our videos and our teachings in such and such place, that's up to the Lord. Amen. The Apostle Paul was restricted where God would allow him to go. He wanted to go to Asia, and God said, no, you're not going to Asia. You're going to go the opposite direction, and you're going to go where I tell you to go. And I'm content with that. But anyway, I want us to go to the Lord in prayer and pray for one another. Pray for those that are working out in this heat, and just pray for them that God will hold them up and bless them. Pray for families tonight. Families need prayer. Amen. Lift them up before the Lord and pray for one another tonight. Pray for your country. I've been studying debt in the Bible all week because that's what's been in the news. And I want to tell you something that I don't know. They're trying to sell this idea that we can raise our debt ceiling as a country and we'll be better off. And I want to tell you, the Bible says, no, you can't do that. And I don't like to be doom and gloom all the time, but I want to tell you, when doom and gloom is around us, I want to tell you something. God has a better way.
Amen.
Than to go in debt. And at some point, I'd like to just preach a whole message on debt and how not to go into debt on everything that you want. Amen. That's good practice. Amen. And, but anyway, just pray for your country and pray for its leadership and pray that God will get a hold and do some mighty things in our nation. Pray for your church and pray for one another tonight. Who in here needs prayer? Raise your hand. Look around you. Okay? My house should be called a house of prayer for all people. And we got some visitors here tonight. We welcome you and we want you to feel at home. We want you to feel like you was just sitting at home watching the church service on TV, and we want you to be comfortable tonight and you're sitting in a room full of sinners. Amen? And saved by that song we sang, My Grace is Sufficient. And we decided that we can't be good. And we decided that God's good all the time. And He's saved us and He's made us whole by His grace. And His grace truly is sufficient for our lives. And so we want you to feel welcome and feel blessed tonight. And but let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we get into the study of His Word. All right, Heavenly Father, I love you. And Lord, I thank you, dear God, for this day. I thank you, Lord, for waking me up, and Lord, Father, for the blessings that you've given me this day. I thank you, dear God, for your word and the beautiful, beautiful things, Lord, that you have shown me. And Lord, Father, this one thing, dear God, that I wanted to share with people tonight, Lord, I don't know if they'll get out of it, Lord, what I got out of it. But Lord, it was a blessing to me, and I want it to be a blessing to them. I pray, Father, Lord, that you would just help and that you would just deliver and you'd give grace and forgive sins and, Lord, just do all kinds of things, Lord, that the world can't do. Lord, help us to hate the world. Help us to hate, Lord, the sinfulness that's in this world and how wicked it's getting. Help us to turn our hearts and our minds, Lord, more toward you every day. Lord, bless our young people and bless our adults. And Lord, Father, just keep us and watch over us. Bless those that are out in this heat. Lord, Father, just keep them cool. And Lord, Father, just put favor on them, dear God, and give them a good night's rest in a nice, cool place. But Father, Lord, help us, dear God, in this heat to remind us, dear God, there's a place that's hotter than this. Lord, I don't want to go there. I do not want to go to hell, God. And Lord, I believe the Bible. The Bible says it's hot and it's on fire and the fire is not quenched. And I just pray, dear God, Lord, that you would save people, dear God. We want to go to that place where there's cool waters running, Lord, in that place, Lord, that you've prepared for us. Lord, I'm just asking, God, that you just bless your word tonight. Bless your church and bless your people. And help us to be refreshed tonight from the cool drink of water of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amos chapter 3. And let me go back here to the book of Genesis and mark my place here very quickly. But like I said earlier, I've been teaching this as far as the prophecy of the Bible is concerned. I've been teaching this for years now, and I've kind of taught this verse. And I use it as a basis for as the basis for practically most, if not all, the teaching that I do in the Scriptures. And there's just so many things in here. In fact, I'm going to start in verse 1 and just move down, and we'll just study the Word of God tonight as God wrote it. But the Bible says in Amos chapter 3, verse 1, hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Isn't that amazing that God said, you're my children and I'm going to punish my own children first? Amen? Amen. As parents, you know, when our kids are with other kids and the whole group of kids gets in trouble, it ain't right for us to be mad at all the other kids and let our kids get away with it. Amen? Go after your own kids first. Amen? That's only right. But anyway, he says, verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? There's a good message there. I mean, there is a multitude of messages and a multitude of applications from this one verse. And I'll tell you something, when you're sitting in a church service and there's two or three different Bible translations and they all say the different things, they cannot, those two Bibles cannot walk together. And when I'm up here preaching out of this King James Bible and I read 1 John 5:7, you open your Bible up and it's not in there, we're not in agreement. My Bible does not agree with your Bible and they cannot walk together. And it has sowed discord.
Yes.
It has sowed massive amounts of discord into the house of God. And there has been this inbreeding of confusion throughout all the churches. And so that, I mean, that's just one application. That application is in worldly friendships. And am I good? Okay. Worldly friendships and worldly communications that we have don't belong to groups that don't agree with this Bible. Hey, right here. Look here. Don't belong to groups that do not agree with this Bible.
Amen.
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 Don't join the clubs. Don't join the societies. Don't join anything that does not agree with this Bible. You will not be able to walk together. You're either going to walk with them or you're going to walk with the Lord. But you can't have both of it. Amen. Husbands and wives need to be agreed, not just in biblical principles. I don't understand. Marriages where one's a Christian and one's a Jew. I don't understand that. I'd say even politically, there's a married couple in Washington, D.C. They're on the talk shows all the time. It's James Carville and Mary Madeline. Mary Madeline is a fierce Republican conservative, and James Carville was an advisor to Bill Clinton. He's a liberal. And they, for some reason, I don't know why, they ended up married. If I was him, I'd choke her. Amen. And I'm not him, and I'm pretty conservative. But if I was him, if we got in, I mean, I'd just choke her. Amen. I'm teasing, of course. But I'll tell you this: it's just good for husbands and wives to come to agreement. Amen. That way they can walk together. And you know, in church circles or just anything like that. But here again, it's the Bible too. You have the Old Testament and the New Testament, and they walk together because they agree 100% of the time. Amen. Not everyone, none. The Bible says shall want her mate. Okay, and that's the book of the Lord. But let me move down to verse 7. Let me get into it. Surely the Lord will do nothing. And if you don't have this verse underlined in your Bible, underline it, then go home and memorize it. Okay? This verse right here will be and can be and should be the basis for your belief system. And I'm dead serious about this. The way the Lord delivered this to me today, this verse should be the basis and the foundation of your philosophy and your belief system in life. Okay? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophets. Okay? Now, how much is nothing? Verse 7. How much is nothing? It's nothing. Amen? It's nada. It's nil. It's zero. God is not going to do anything except He reveals His secret to His servants, the prophets. That's this Bible. Okay? We have in our hands, you're holding it in your lap, the revealed words of the prophets, the revealed word of God. And you should be able to trust it. I've been trying to instill in this church and everybody that will listen to us that if you can't trust anything else in life, you can trust this book. I went to Kenya. I went to Kenya telling, not trying to build Mike Hoggard's ministries, but to leave them with this book, leave them with the Bible. I told him, I said, I'll be out of town here tomorrow. And I'll be gone. And you may not be able to watch my videos, but I want to tell you something. You have this Bible. Read it. Go home, study it. Memorize it. Learn it. Meditate upon it. Amen. Think on these things, the Bible says. And I want to tell you something. This verse right here should be the basis of your philosophy and your belief system. Surely the Lord will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophets. That means that, listen, watch this now. Everything that God does. See, the opposite of nothing is what? Everything. Everything that God does is written down in this book. Everything is. And I had a man tell me, and in fact, it was Stan Johnson, the Prophecy Club. He said, not everything that God does is in the Bible. And I said, I don't believe that. Amen? You know what? Listen, if you're sitting underneath somebody that's going to teach you that nonsense, you get up and walk out. You dismiss yourself, you excuse yourself. And I don't care, just get up and walk out. Do not put yourself under the authority of any religious figure who will tell you that God does things that are not written in the. You know what he's doing? He's setting you up. He is setting you up for a fall is what he's doing. And I've been preaching this and teaching this, and here's what I'm going to lay this on you tonight. I want you to think about this and ponder this. This Bible is not only the book of life. It is, and I've said this before, it is the book of your life. Your life. And my life. Every action, every thought, every day has already been recorded in this book. And that is what I believe. Because this verse says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. And I'm here to tell you, there's not a day that goes by that you cannot find the answers to life's daily questions inside this book. And if you can't find them here, it's not much of a book, is it? You might as well turn to Gene Dixon and the astrology and the horoscope. You might as well go to the palm reader. You might as well go to the card reader. You might as well go to the weather forecast or something. You might as well just eat a fortune cookie today and live by it. And play the lottery by the numbers on the other side. Amen. You probably, if this Bible does not address every situation that you're in, he's not much of a God, is he? It's an assumption that there are things that do crop up in life that God hasn't figured out yet. That's a lie. God has it all figured out. He's got it all written down. He's got every answer to every question. He's got the solution to every problem. He has the guidebook for every pathway that we come across in our lives. Everything that God does is in this book. Period. Write it down. Memorize it. Store it down inside the chambers of your heart. So that when one of these days, when questions arise in your mind and your heart, and you don't have answers, you'll know who to turn to for the answers. Amen? You'll know who to turn to. And when you can't get a hold of me on the cell phone. Amen? Pastor, I need help. Hey, let's call God and let's ask Him for help. Because that's exactly what I'm going to do. Because every now and then you'll bring me a problem that I'm going, Lord, I need help here. Lord, where are you? Need help here. And we're just going to turn to the Lord. Now, this Bible is a Bible of prophecy. If you don't like prophecy, you just don't care much about the Bible. Amen? Everything about this Bible is prophetic. Everything about this Bible, if you can go all the way back to the beginning, but we can go to Genesis chapter 3, and God was prophesying in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. They call that in the theological circles the proto-evangelion, which is a big word for the first gospel. And that is, the seed of the serpent shall be bruised by the seed of the woman. Okay? That is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ conquering the power of sin and the power of Satan. And it goes all the way back to the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden. And God was prophesying from the beginning how it was going to end up in the end. And that was 6,000 years ago. Surely, if God can make a prophecy stick for 6,000 years, surely God knows how your day is going to end up tomorrow. Can I hear you say amen? I mean, just one day from now, God's got it all figured out. And if you just really need to know and have to know, you can ask God and God will show it to you in this Bible. How many of you believe that? Say amen. I do this all over, but I love this testimony. Have you ever said, God, please, God, I need help. God, show me something from the Bible. God, show it to me right here. And it was there. Amen. Your eyes stuck out that far going, I can't believe that. That's how God works. Amen. You just might as well trust Him. You might as well try to learn as much of this Bible as you can. Because not every time can you grab a Bible, but the Holy Ghost is going to dig verses out of things that are going on in your life. And you're going to say, I know what this is. This is that which was spoken by the prophets of the Lord. I know what's going on here. Let me hear somebody say amen. So we have prophecies here. If God's going to do something in your life, it's already written down. Do you believe that? Let me hear you say amen real loud. That's not very loud. I've been with some of you watching sports, and I know how loud you can get. So don't give me that nonsense. Don't say amen. Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. I don't remember really where I left off, so I'm going to start right here. Is that close enough? Brady and Bradley didn't steal all my thunder away while I was gone, did they? Not in Genesis. All right. Anyway, Genesis 41, verse 1. Now, Joseph has been cast into prison for a sin that he did not commit. Okay, for the sins of Babylon, he was thrown into prison. And he told the baker and the butler, he said, now when you guys get out now, don't forget old Joseph here. And they said, okay, we won't forget him. Well, the bakers end up dead. He's hung. And the butler forgot. And so the Bible picks it up in Genesis chapter 41, verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. There's Joseph waiting 2 years in that prison. That Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And I want you to help me. I want you to pray for me. I have a theory, and I haven't studied it all out yet. I'm probably going to bounce it off some people tonight after the service about Old Testament dreams versus New Testament dreams. Okay? I was just kind of looking and going through the files in my mind about all the Old Testament dreams and all the New Testament dreams, and there's a difference, I think. Okay? I already got a confirmation here. You don't even know what I'm talking about, but I think there's a difference. But anyway, Pharaoh dreamed a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine, so Pharaoh awoke. So I want you to understand this. He sees 7 fat cows and 7 skinny cows. And the fat cows are feeding and getting fatter. And all of a sudden the 7 skinny cows show up and they eat up the 7 fat cows. Okay? Everybody get that so far? And then he woke up. And then verse 5, and he slept and dreamed a second time. I want you to notice the double here. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up, 1 stalk, rank and good. Behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. The 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And then, but in that neat language there, because while you're dreaming, it seems like it's reality, doesn't it? Okay? And you wake up and all of a sudden it's just a dream. But anyway, in verse 8, and it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. And I'm just going to go back to this magicians here thing real quick. I've had 2 articles come across my desk, and I'm going to deal with it this week on the Watchman broadcast. From quote-unquote Christian religious figures, basically telling you that you really, really, really should go see the last Harry Potter movie. You really need to go see that, because once you get... And one article specifically said, once you get past the witchcraft, there's a really good story here. Well, I'll be honest with you. Maybe I'm stuck in the mud, but I can't get past the witchcraft.
Amen.
Because I know what it is. I know what it really is. I can't get past it. But this religious man, the article was in Christianity Today. Okay? The evangelical voice, and telling people, once you got past the witchcraft, Harry Potter's a really, really good story. It's about redemption. It's about rebirth. It's about good over evil. It's about all this stuff. And I want to tell you something. I believe that you can give God the test. God doesn't mind taking the test. Okay? I'll challenge you. Anybody sitting here, anybody watching me, and this would be recorded and be out all over the internet. Okay? Anybody watching this, I'm going to take a test. Okay? You spend 2 weeks trying to figure out life's problems and issues by astrology or witchcraft or magic, and then spend 2 weeks after that trying to find them out from the Word of God. I guarantee you this Bible will win out.
Amen.
God says, prove me now herewith. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Okay? And I'm not condoning witchcraft. I'm just telling you that witchcraft does not scare me, because I know it's fake and phony, and it might produce very limited short-term effects in your life. But I want to tell you something. If you want something that lasts, get the Bible. Get with Jesus. Get alone with God in prayer and say, God, please help me in my life. And I want to tell you something. I just know, I'm like Elijah. I'm sitting there watching the prophets of Baal cut themselves and scream unto God and everything like that, waiting for fire to come down. And I'm just sitting there looking at the clock going, you boys about done? Give me some water, because I want to show you what my God will do. And I'm not, listen, I don't have to worry about my God beating your God. Amen? And so anyway, but the magicians could not do it. Do not go into sorcery. Do not go into magic. Do not go into witchcraft. Don't even read your astrology in the paper for fun. Don't do it. Okay? I about got to where I don't really pay much attention to the fortune cookies either. I just got to where I just, and I know most of that stuff just, you know, entertainment, this and that and the other, something to do after you eat your Chinese food. But I'm just getting to where I just don't like divination of any kind. Okay? I just don't want to be around it. I don't like it. It's wrong. Amen. It doesn't work. It's fake and phony. Don't encourage anybody to read stupid Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, or any of this other nonsense. If you go up to these bookstores, this is an eye opener. Go up to some of the bookstores, like up in St. Louis and the malls and that. Go in there to the teen and adolescent section and look at the books that are being targeted at our children. Most of them dealing with, I'm talking 12, 13-year-old kids dealing either with sexuality or witchcraft of some form, or vampirism. Okay? It is disheartening to see what our young people are feeding themselves with, and they're not going to Sunday school and learning about Noah and the Ark and Moses and baby Jesus. Amen? They're not getting that stuff. And it's a setup of something that is empty and will never work in their lives. It never will. Okay? So anyway, verse 9. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh. You can just almost see the butler standing there next to Pharaoh going, dreams, dreams. Pharaoh, can I speak? Pharaoh says, what do you want? Pharaoh, remember when I was in prison 2 years ago? Yeah. Remember how you set me free? Yeah. I had a dream when I was in prison. And there was a guy in prison that told me what that dream meant. And he said it exactly. He said, you remember the baker that you had hung? Yeah, I remember him. He had a dream too. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He interpreted the dream. Pharaoh, I know somebody that can interpret this. I mean, you can just see the butler just kind of going, I know this one. He's excited. Okay. So the chief butler, Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he, and we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream that he did interpret it. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. See, that's the miracle. The Bible is that it comes to pass exactly the way it was told it was going to come to pass. Amen. Nostradamus. Who's heard of Nostradamus? Okay. And everybody makes a big deal about, oh, Nostradamus, he predicted Adolf Hitler. No, he didn't. Nostradamus wrote in one of his what they called quatrains, and they were very, very enigmatic, mysterious writings that he wrote out, little poems. And there's even problems because he wrote them in French or Latin or something like that, and they can't really interpret them right. Anyway, he writes in there about a character by the name of Hister. It's not the same guy. Okay? And they said, oh, he predicted the moon landing, and he predicted this, he predicted that, and he said all this was going to happen. No, the people who interpreted his prophecies after the fact said this, mentioned that. But he was not a prophet. And he failed. And if he was only wrong one time, he's not a prophet of God. But this guy said, Pharaoh, I mean, exactly the way he said it was going to happen, That's how it happened. Okay? So verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment, came in unto Pharaoh. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. I want you to look at how wise Joseph is. And there's all kinds of lessons in the Bible. One of the lessons that you're going to learn from Joseph is, if you're too concerned in life about self-promotion, God's going to abase you. He's going to bring you down. Okay? Joseph was not in any way interested about self-promotion. He could have, listen to this now, he could have used this opportunity to be real cocky and say, of course I know this. In fact, Pharaoh, if you work with me, I can be your right-hand man. Just to get out of prison. That's not what Joseph did. Joseph did not in any way ascribe his interpretations to himself. And you're going to see that. So in verse 16, he says, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Look at what he said. It is not in me. Underline that in your Bible. In fact, you might want to, at the very front of your Bible, right as you open it up, maybe even above your name, you can write Genesis chapter 41, verse 16. It is not in me. It is not in me. I can tell you that it is not in me to stand up here and preach to you tonight. It's not in me. It is not in me. It is not in my... Paul's talking about that. He said, I know that is in my flesh. There is no good thing. I can tell you what is in me, and you won't like it. But I can tell you that it is not in me to have wisdom. It is not in me to have understanding. It is not in me to have knowledge of scriptural things. It is not in me to be a good person. It is not in me to be a help to people. It is not in me to be a dynamic, powerful, super Christian. It's not in me, but I can tell you who it belongs to. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you ought to know this about me by now. One of the things that I don't like is self-promoting Christianity. I don't like it. I think we ought to steer away from it. Amen? Self-promoting Christianity, self-promoting faith. In other words, trying to put ourselves off to the world that we are some big thing. And the truth of it is, we're not. And you know it. See, you know you. Amen? How many of you know yourself pretty well? How many of you know yourself and know what evil, nasty sins that you're capable of? If I let you out early tonight and God just turns you loose, how many of you know what you're capable of doing tonight? Raise your hand.
That's right. Amen.
Joseph was right. It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. So verse 17. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. Behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. Behold, seven other kind came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kind did eat up the first seven fat kind. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears, and I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it unto me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. In other words, that both dreams mean exactly the same thing. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. Did you watch? Did you look at? Here it is. Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret to his servants, the prophets. And there's a lot of things that I wanted to share with you tonight out of this whole thing that goes on just with the dreams, just with the interpretation of the dreams, just with the events that are going to take place that coincide the dreams. But I will tell you this. God is a God of pronouncement, pronunciation, proclamation. God is a God of proclamation. When he gets ready to do something, he proclaims what he's going to do. And you can chase this down all through the Bible. When God was ready to destroy the earth with a flood, he went to Noah 120 years before he actually flooded the earth, and he told Noah, prepare yourself, prepare the ark, gather the animals, do it exactly the way I tell you to do. God gave Noah time. And then when all that was done, 7 days before the flood waters began to fall upon the earth and rise up from the depth, God said, for yet 7 days. I'd say that's pretty good.
Amen.
If somebody calls you and says, now 7 days from now, this is going to happen, that should be enough time. Amen. Should be enough time to get ready. If the Holy Ghost came and fell upon you today and said, you've got 7 days to live on this earth, get your house in order. If I were you, I would get your house in order. Amen. And God talks to us that way. God is the revealer of secrets. In fact, in the book of John chapter 16, when Jesus was talking about the Comforter that's going to come, he's talking about the Holy Ghost. And he said, he will take of mine and show it to thee. He said, he will show thee things to come. The Holy Ghost is going to show us things that not have happened, but will happen. Amen. You can't get the astrologers to do that. You cannot get the soothsayers and the cardomancers. You cannot, that's the people that lay down cards. By the way, be careful about your kids playing these card games. Amen? These fantasy role-playing card games, that's cardomancy. That is an occult practice whereby divination is performed by use of cards. Don't let them play with that stuff. Amen? Amen. Okay? I don't care if they are in the Happy Meal. Throw it away. Amen? Okay? Get rid of them. But anyway, you won't find it in the cards. You won't find it in the palm of your hand. Although God has written out your future in the palm of His hand. He said, I've graven thee in the palm of my hand. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You will not find it out there. You will, however, find it right here. You will find the answer to it. Let me tell you how this works. And I got to a point at one time in my life, I did not like the answer that I read. There was a guy one time I felt sorry for, and I let him use a credit account at a store that I did business with, a paint store. And he went up and charged $500 to my account. And said, I've got a job going, as soon as I get the money in, I'll pay you back, pay your account. He went up there and charged $500 to my account. I won't get into it, but anyway. Well, the bill came in, and I hadn't heard from him, so I called him. He said, well, we're still working on it. Should be done for too long. Well, another 10 days went by, and I'm kind of sweating because I got to pay this bill or I'm going to get a late charge. And I called him again, and he and him hauled around. He said, he said, I lost my shirt on that job. And I said, no, you lost my shirt on that job. It was my shirt. You lost on that job. And I should have known better. But I went to the Lord because my wife, she's a good wife to me. And she looked at me and she said, I'm not paying that bill for you. And so I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I'm really distressed here. Show me how this is going to turn out. And I kid you not, I opened up to, I think it was the book of Psalms, and it said, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. I'm not kidding you. I read that verse right as soon as I set my eyes on it. And I went, no, that was the word of the Lord. And he had not paid that bill off. Can I tell you what I did? I'm going to tell you what you should do. I forgave the debt. If he came to me today with $1,000 in his hand, I wouldn't take it from him. I would not take it from him because he doesn't know that I forgave it. He hasn't spoke to me. But I have forgiven that debt. And now I'm free.
Amen.
Amen. And I've been studying debt all week, and I can tell you what this Bible says about it. And you're just better off in a lot of cases just to forgive rather than hold it against somebody. Can I hear you say amen? You listen, you better say amen. That's the word of God. But I'm just telling you, this Bible does have the answers, and sometimes we don't like that answer. And I'll tell you, but that scared me worse than not knowing. But once I decided that he was not going to pay the debt, then I went into action. I had some equipment that I sold, and I raised the money myself, and I paid that debt. And I appreciate my wife taking a stand. That God, listen, I was foolish in doing that. And I tell you what, I haven't done that again. Okay? But I'm just telling you, your answers are right here in this book. God is a God of prophecy. He says there again in verse 28, what God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Listen, right now in this church, God is showing this church some things that he's going to do in this world. Do you believe that? Say amen. Amen. He's preparing, he's filling us up with knowledge so that when things break loose in this world and we're still here, we're gonna say, this is that which was spoken. And see, when you find out what that is and where it's spoken of here, read the rest of it and you'll find out that we really don't have anything to be afraid of. Can I hear you say amen? We really don't. And so God just reveals things. Verse 29, behold, there comes seven, now he's going to give the interpretation. Behold, there comes 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. God is a God of proclamation. God is a God of preparation. Okay? And I don't like to make all my sermons sound the same. What is that? Alliteration? Okay? Proclamation, preparation. What was the other one I come up with? I don't know. I'll think of it in a minute. Verse 30. There shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. God not only proclaimed this, but he did so that the people at that time could prepare for what was going on. Yes. They prepared, and you're fixing to see Pharaoh get it. Once he understands it, I mean, he accepts it, and he's going to take off running with this thing. But it's I wish I could think of that third word. Maybe I'm messed up because I'm trying to make it rhyme. No, well, preservation, okay. But he's the God of, I want to say, supply. God did not send the 7 years of famine without sending the 7 years of plenty first. Does that make sense? He sent the plenty first.
Yes.
Then he sends the famine. Now, you and I know, because we believe the Bible, if we were to go back to the book of Amos, we'd read this verse where God said there will be a famine in the land, not of bread, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Are you with me? A famine in the land of hearing the words of the Lord. You know what that tells me? If we know that the famine is coming. Say that again, Linda. You better fill up.
Amen.
Amen? Now, a physical famine in this country, okay, I can tell you that I will probably last longer than some of you. Just mark it down, okay? I'll be around a lot longer than you will. No. Spiritual famines. They do come, don't they? How many of you ever been in one of those? Say amen. And there's going to be another one come because it's part of just the cycles of life. So I encourage it to you is fill up. Fill up. Anybody ever driven through Death Valley or driven out west, out through there?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
Fill your tank every chance you get.
Every chance. When that gas station says the last gas station for 150 miles or whatever, it may not be, but I'd stop in there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? I'd get plenty of gas, water, everything, whatever. I'd get plenty of it because you're fixing to head into a place where there's not any. And I would say, just as an idea of life, God will always proclaim to you what is going to happen. You may not be listening. You may not want to hear it. But He is going to tell you. And it's all written right here. And number two, He's going to lead you to supply you. He is going to fill your need. So let's look at this very quickly, and then I'm going to close with this part of it. Verse 32, and for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing was established by God. This dual thing here is always speaks of the Old Testament and the New Testament and the fulfillment of prophecy. Prophecy in the Bible always has a partial fulfillment and then a latter day's complete fulfillment. God is not done fulfilling His word yet. Amen?
Amen.
Till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall pass from this law until all be fulfilled. And it hasn't all been fulfilled yet. That's how I know that this Bible has not one dot on the letter I has passed away. Not one. Okay? Don't give me that nonsense because I don't believe it. Okay? I believe it's all been preserved. Okay? But anyway, so the dual name, the first and second coming of Christ. Anyway, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Notice here again, Joseph is not self-promoting. Joseph said, Pharaoh, if I were you, I would find me somebody to take this and run with it. Okay? Somebody that's discreet. Okay? So verse 34, let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. In other words, you're going to tax every bushel of grain that's grown for the next 7 years. You're going to tax it. You're going to take one-fifth out of every bushel of grain that's grown in this land. One-fifth of it. Okay? Five is the number for grace, by the way. Okay? In verse 35, and let them gather all the food of these good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Let another man's lips praise you and not your own. Amen. When you have to go around bragging about who you are and this and that and the other, and I'll tell you this too, okay, and some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You start doing business with somebody and they pop off right off the bat that how good a Christian they are, I'd be real careful about doing business with them. Am I telling you the truth? When they have to proclaim themselves as a good church member, a good Christian and this and that and the other, I'd be real careful about it, okay? The testimony of a true Christian businessman, he does not have to brag about his church affiliations or his Bible beliefs or anything like that. He just has to do what the contract said he has to do and do it the way that it was agreed to. And God will bless and honor that. Amen? God will show through your example and not your words. And I hate that it's that way. But I've just known, been around a long time, and anybody that's just going around proclaiming, well, you know, I'm a Christian businessman. I like to do things God's way. I'm not kidding you. You might just go find, you might go find somebody else. Okay? I hate to say that. That's sometimes how it is. Amen? But anyway, where was I? I need to quit. I need to shut up. He said in verse 40, thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Watch this now. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. You know what was probably on that ring? Huh? The seal. Kings always put their signet and a seal upon a ring. So when they wrote a proclamation and wax was poured on there, they would seal that thing in wax. Okay? This watch this now, because Joseph is the Lord Jesus Christ right here. Because right now, Joseph has the power to seal and to loose.
Amen!
Boy, that hurt my wrist. But he's got that. Listen, there is none worthy except the Lord Jesus Christ, who in Revelation chapter 6 takes the book, begins to unseal it, because He alone is worthy to loose the seals. Amen?
Amen.
His power is in the binding and loosing and the sealing and the unsealing. And this is the... Watch. You just watch the ring. Amen? Watch the ring. You go to the book of Esther and watch the ring. It's the signet of authority. It's where the authority is. And right now the authority is in Joseph. And I got so many other things to preach about Joseph right now. I wish I could... I wish you all to stand up and let's go home. Amen? We're going to talk about how he's getting married. Amen? We're going to talk about Joseph getting married. We're going to talk about Joseph having sons. We're going to talk about Joseph. Amen? And numbers and signs and symbols and prophecies. And I'm just telling you, if God's going to do something in your life, it's written down.
Amen.
Amen? Don't let these clowns in these churches tell you, oh, God's doing a new thing! Woo! He already did a new thing. It's called the New Testament.
Amen?
Amen. It's still new. Amen? It's still new. Oh, the Lord bless you tonight. I'm glad to be here. Amen? Pray for one another. Bow your head right now and close your eyes and say, Lord, lay somebody on my heart to pray for right now. Lord, You lay them. Lord, Father, in Jesus' name, lay the burden upon somebody's heart tonight to pray for somebody else. And Lord, Father, we like to intercede for people. We like to pray for people, dear God, that sometimes can't pray. And Lord, we'd like to be a blessing to somebody, the Lord, that needs a blessing. And Lord, I'm praying for somebody right now, and I pray, Lord, that You'd be a blessing to them. Lord, others are praying for others. Maybe somebody's praying for me, and Lord, that's fine. Lord, just help us to be a blessing to one another. Thank You, dear God, for this book. Lord, it's such a blessing in my life to know, God, that I can go right here to find the answers, Lord, to everything. Lord, there's no other place, Lord, that I turn to but this book. Lord, I thank You for it. Lord, help us to stand on this book and love this book and meditate on it and read it and pray over it and weep on it, God, and hold it tight, Lord, when we need help. Lord, Father, what Bradley preached the other night, Lord, don't let that stranger pass us by, dear God, Lord. Help the Bible not be a stranger to us anymore. Lord, just bless Your people tonight. Thank You, Lord, for Your grace and Your mercy. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Haugard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word. God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.